Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You better clutch your nuts, honey, because it's time for Squirrel Talk.
Oh, hello, 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 squirrels. It's me, Hillary S., back again. And no, you're not supposed to come in yet. What are you doing?
Me?
Yeah, you interrupted me last time on the first time we tried this.
Well,
oh, you're
told
not going
to
interrupt me this time?
Well, you told me come
in, not on.
All right,
get back in the closet. Get back in the closet. Okay, anyway, it's me, Hillary S., and welcome to Squirrel Talk. I have a fun guest today. So I'm sorry we missed last week. I was supposed to have the one and only Opal Essence, my drag sister from Camp Wanakiki, but she stood me up, that whore. So I guess... we're gonna
it's
go
okay
over.
Hills I'm prettier so I know I'm gonna do a better job.
I know you are very pretty. Get back in the closet. You're not done yet. You're not ready yet. Okay, we need Opal stood me up, so that's okay. We'll just like touch on episode 2 of Drag Race UK a bit, but we'll talk about episode 3 mostly, and I think maybe we'll get Opal for next week. I don't know. Opal is very flaky. Anyway,
how dare you.
She is
dragging,
she is
your drag sister.
Dandruff. Speaking of dandruff, you should know, you should have some cures for some dandruff. You're a doctor.
All over my head and shoulders.
Yes. Let's just bring you out. It's the one and only, I don't know your actual name, but he goes by Dr. Jake.
That's Yay! Me. I'm Dr. Jake. I mean, my it's actual Dr. name Jake. Is Jake, so we'll go with that. Hi, I'm Dr. Jake. You can find me at Dr. Jake LGBTQ Health on YouTube. Yay.
Are you sure your actual name is Jake?
No one can be truly certain.
I thought it was like Adam or something.
I like the name Adam. I have met many hot Adams in my life. I love Adam, Dave. I love all the Jewish names, really. Adam, David, Shmuel, you know.
My husband is named Adam. It's a very hot name.
Your husband is pretty hot. I admit that. But back
He'll
off,
like
ladies.
That.
He's taken.
He'll like that. Okay, well, Dr. Jake, thank you for coming on the pod.
I came twice.
Yeah, you're going to continue to come. I know. You're very excitable. let's tell the people how we met each other, because I think it was honestly you started hitting on me on Instagram.
No, I was browsing Grindr, and I saw... large ham looking for small potato. And I said, listen, meat and potatoes, that's my jam. Mm. And I didn't have any jam at the time, but so I went out and got some, and thus I became Dr. Jake. Yes.
Yeah, that was when I was on pigplay.com looking for hams. Ham and potatoes.
Oh, no. Only hams. Thanks, Jinx.
So, yeah, I think it was, I don't know, I think we just followed each other, and then we were like, okay, hi. And then I came to Boston, and you had just recently moved to Boston, and we did a YouTube video together.
We had a really fun time.
Yeah, we hit it off, and you're a nice person, and I don't know.
Well,
you like drag
queens. Not exaggerate, okay.
Yeah, it was an average, mediocre occurrence.
Like, you were great, I was just okay, let's be real here. I know who the star of that video was. It was not me.
The cat. It was the cat.
There was definitely the cat. I don't think the cat was in that video. But yes, it was definitely the cat. No, it was you doing my makeup. And there are some pictures of how amazing I looked after
that
day.
That's right. Because you asked me to do drag makeup. You scammed a drag queen to put makeup on you.
I bought all the makeup myself. And you got like... Mm-hmm. Two new subscribers from it or something. Maybe one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A whole two. All my subscribers and followers and things like that, they're hard earned. I don't use the algorithms well. I mean, oh my goodness. So
YouTube's a hard racket. I've been doing it for a year and I still don't know what's going on. So we'll get there someday.
Honestly, I think like in the drag market space, it's so filled with just... like the everybody doing the same thing, that, and you know, then whenever like we do something different, like I'm doing comedy or whatever, people are just like, no, no.
Yeah, it's hard. It takes a long time to get a foothold on what your niche actually is and how it differs from other people's. So just
yeah. And I'm not a celebrity. I'm not a celebrity, but I am on a TV show, which is
you're a celebrity to me. I know exactly who you are.
I mean, that was really fun to come and put makeup on you. I mean,
I had a blast. It was delightful.
I put makeup on you. You bought some products, and you were very surprised by two things, I think. You were surprised, number one, by the amount of products you had to buy, and by, number two, by the amount of time it takes to put it all on.
And number three, how poor I am at choosing products, despite having been given a very specific list.
Very specific. Yeah. But no, you did a pretty good job, honestly. And then I think my drag... sister Coleslaw came by and did your makeup as well, or helped.
You know what happened? You want the, let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
Which is the footage died because my external hard drive died. So we're gonna film something else another time. We had a good time, and I felt terrible. So I will be inviting Coleslaw to my home again. Coleslaw,
you know,
lovely.
the biggest difference between me and Coleslaw, I think, is that see
your thyroids.
Yeah, my thyroid, definitely my active thyroid, my thyroidism. But like Coleslaw, you asked me to like not help you and to let you fail and look horrible. I could not have that happen. So I made you look pretty. Coleslaw actively made you look terrible.
Well, okay, I insisted that I do my own makeup with Coleslaw.
Well,
so
I
that,
mean,
not Coleslaw's doing.
Well,
that was not Coleslaw's doing. That was all me Monday to Sunday. But I did
Coleslaw
not keep the makeup
okay
on that long.
That? Coleslaw was just like,
oh no, Coleslaw okay was not okay with that. Coleslaw just knew that I was going to do whatever I wanted because
she
you
was
can't
just like, so are you sure you don't want me to help you put this thing on?
Here's the thing about okay Coleslaw. Coleslaw, I think, seems like a very, Coleslaw seems like a very rude person, and like oh, yeah, in her drag persona, and because that's her persona, very, but she's yeah not Coleslaw. Like boy Coleslaw, which is who you start with. You start with boy Coleslaw is yes like a wonderful and kind and pleasant and mm-hmm and actually very funny human, but mm-hmm like very like just a wonderful person, which means that they're not going to boss me around.
Mm.
Which
oh, so
in
I'm
contrast to you, yeah.
Right. I'm the controlling one who
I would say that.
I'm the motherly one who's like, I'm not letting you go out looking like a whore, dear. Like, no, it's not happening.
Well, I mean, if you want to make me look like something I'm not, that's fine. But we do have a whole Drag Race episode to talk about, so we should probably get right into it.
Well, I know, but like for me on Squirrel Talk, I'm like, it's Drag Race. Everyone talks Drag Race. There's so much to talk about Drag Race. Oh. I want to talk more about you.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I'm beautiful.
Yeah, what?
Spooky.
You are
and
a doctor, right?
You are
beautiful. You are stupid. Beautiful, stupid. Definitely those two.
Yes,
things.
Yes, those two. I'm not really spooky.
Oh, and you're not spooky? Well,
no, I don't think so. Not really.
But you are a doctor. So you
I am a doctor. Things. I did an internal medicine and pediatrics residency. It was 4 years of absolute wonderful. I just loved every second of it. I did not. And then I worked for 2 years as a physician. And then I said, wow, this sucks. And I left, which, you know, some people quiet quit. I do everything loud.
And are you, do you think you like are happy with that decision? Like jumping into the YouTube world?
I am so happy with that decision.
Nice.
I mean,
nice.
Real talk. I have like a side gig that I work 10 hours a week that pays my bills. Mm-hmm. But YouTube is so much more fun than all of that. I would not want to do anything else.
Yeah.
So, as the channel grows, you will see me do more and more and more.
Yeah. And then so you're building like a brand kind of like as the gay physician. Is that,
I'm a gay doctor.
Kind of,
yeah.
Is that kind of the idea? Like you just want to be like, I'm a doctor, but I'm gay.
Yeah.
And, you know, so like,
you know, I've only found
about penises.
I've only found one other gay doctor on YouTube, and that is Elliot Carthy, who is also amazing. He's a psychiatrist in the UK. There's another guy named Andrew Neighbors who is really funny, but actually isn't a doctor. He's an optometrist.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not the same thing. He's not a physician.
He's kind of like bordering on like porno.
No, he's great. I mean, but he's an optometrist, right? He's not a physician. So I have a different niche than he does. And you know, Dr. Elliot is all about psychiatry. That's really what he does. He analyzes the psyches of these characters. Like one of his best videos is him analyzing BoJack Horseman, and it's fantastic.
Does he talk about the Velvet Rage?
He talks about everything. He's really good. I mean, he goes deep into it. He's a much more thoughtful and intellectual human than I am. I'm just like, look, drag queen. Hey, Steven Universe, let's go. You know, and so Opal. It's a different Opal. No, it's a different Opal. It's Opal. Opal the gem.
Opal is a lot. Steven Universe Opal.
Opal the crystal gem. Yeah.
Well, they actually are the same thing, honestly.
True. Mm-hmm. Their voices are exactly the same, right?
Hey, stay guys. Low. I'm Opal.
Stay low.
Opal. I'm from Albany.
Opal's ridiculous. She stood me up. I can't believe it. But you didn't. You were actually excited to be on the podcast, which is...
I was maybe a little too excited.
And also, you're very talkative. And like, I knew like when you would come on the podcast, it would just be like so easy.
What do you mean? I'm quiet and demure and also easy. Yeah.
No. That's true. And easy. Yes.
Yeah, I'm definitely easy.
What do you
think? I say yes all the time.
What do you think?
No is a word I don't know.
So, okay. So there's Andrew Neighbors. There's the psychiatrist guy. And they don't, I don't think Andrew Neighbors ever does any optometry. He just takes his shirt off all the time and does underwear pics.
I mean, I'm at peace with that. I don't want to tell him not to.
What do you think of other internet doctors, like that really famous one, Dr. Mike?
He's great. I think he makes really good videos. You know, his videos have sort of are starting to inspire my style a little bit. And it's going to sound weird, but actually the YouTuber that is starting to inspire more of my style is actually Legal Eagle.
Legal Eagle is amazing.
Yes. You know, he's does more like law.
He's kind of like the Dr. Mike version of law stuff, right?
I'd say so, yeah. But he has a different vibe, right? He's a little bit lower energy, like very, very animated and amazing. But, you know, he uses less music in his videos than Dr. Mike does. And so I'm sort of a mix of those. But then there's one other person that I think is an amazing presence on YouTube, and that is Legia Miller. If you haven't heard of her, she is another YouTube lawyer, but she takes more of like a sassy LGBTQ angle.
Oh, I think I've seen her.
She's so good. And she's done a lot of, I think a lot of her best, she did one that was analyzing the RuPaul's Drag Race contract. She also did some amazing videos on Britney's conservatorship. You know, hashtag free Britney. She is amazing. And I would suggest that if you don't subscribe to Legia Miller, L-E-E-J-A, you subscribe to her. Love her.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing. Cause like a lot of people don't understand all that legal stuff. And it's like, free Britney, but they don't understand what that means. That's so cool.
And Britney should have been free, but it's just a legal process that was drawn out for years and years and years, because that's how all that works.
It's so true. It's so true. Like, there's so much more to it than just being like, free Britney. It's like, well, there's like a lot to it.
Awful.
So like, what about your YouTube like life? Have you been watching YouTube like forever? Did you start
early
days of like,
you know what? I really got into YouTube during COVID, like everybody else. I watched some YouTube, but it wasn't something that I was on all the time, right? I was a little busy getting dick off of Grindr and Scruff, you know, you kind of prioritize. But no, for real though, I got really into YouTube during COVID. Right. And I just realized like, wait, why am I not doing this? I don't have any place where I can perform. I was a musical theater kid. I actually started my life in college at a conservatory for musical theater. I was at the Boston Conservatory doing a BFA in musical theater. And then I said, I want to do something else with my total sum of my life. And so I went to medical school ultimately.
So you decided,
and now I'm like, I'll circle back.
You hit the heights of your musical theater career and were like, you know what? Been there, done that. No, I'm going to be a doctor.
I'd like to think that I haven't hit those heights yet.
You couldn't quite hit the high C, and you're just like,
I can hit the high C. I can hit the high C. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well,
you squeeze my balls, I hit the high C.
Exactly. Everybody can hit the high C eventually. Mm-hmm.
That's how you switch keys. Just, you can't see what I'm doing, but I'm squeezing my balls when I switch keys. you know?
So that's really funny. Like, kind of like the, like, you were, but I mean, I guess I wouldn't say it's uncommon, but like that you're very talented in the arts, but then you went into the doctoring. And
well, I certainly wouldn't say it's common, darling.
It's not common. Do you find doctors not to be artistic at all?
I think they're actually, no, I think you're correct. I just want to feel special. I think there are a lot of doctors with artistic talent who are at high levels, but not high enough to truly be professional. And so they say, hey, there are a lot of things I can do. And that's sort of where I was, right? I mean, I was doing like professional musical theater, like before I went to college. And then I went to college and I was like, and that was part of it, right? Like, do I really want to compete in this environment?
Absolutely.
Whereas on YouTube, I'm only competing with myself.
It feels like that. And how do you feel like then you went down this path of doctoring and did all of the training, which is a lot of training to do it, and then you got into the world? Did you feel like it like paid off, like it was worth it? Or do you kind of like kick yourself and think that you should have just gone for the musical theater? Or how do you feel?
It's complicated, right? If I had it to do over again, I don't think I would do medical school, but I'm kind of happy that I did. It's given me something to talk about that not a lot of people can talk about, right? Mm-hmm. How many doctors are on YouTube that have even like 1,000 subscribers, right? And as my channel grows, I hope to be bigger and better and bustier, right? So I'm getting a boob job tomorrow. No, I am glad that I did it.
Amazon. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, yes.
Simple.
I'm glad that I did medicine. I think I don't get caught in like a sunk cost fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
I did it. I made an investment in my education. I made money for a couple of years just being a doctor. And now I have perspective that I think a lot of LGBTQ people need to hear about. At least I hope they do. Right? Otherwise, I'm not going to have a channel for long.
But I think that's so true. I think like we're like made of all of our experiences. Like when I think back about things that I maybe would not have done in my past, it's hard to say, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that because I wouldn't be who I am today. Like had I not had all those experiences, right?
So it's like you might not have been so much of a hot mess.
Exactly. Like I wouldn't have somehow stumbled my way onto like Camp Wanakiki, which honestly, like, was such a great, fun experience for me.
And had you not drunk so much, you could have just walked.
I know. I wouldn't have, like, busted my leg on TV.
Oh, I felt bad about
that. I'm still waiting for my exam by you, by the way. Just I need to get a full physical.
All right, bend over. We're ready to go.
Oh, because you used to do
Can I call you Ben?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Well, Ben, I'd love to be called Ben. Ben de la Creme, one of the best drag queens in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah. Della, I love me some Della. Probably, you know, in my opinion, my the best lip sync that's ever been on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Absolutely.
Her Anaconda lip sync is my favorite. It's not my favorite, like, lip sync for your legacy life, like, my favorite setting, but she was my favorite single person doing a lip sync. Like, my absolute favorite is Evie versus Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, my favorite performer that's been on that stage doing a lip sync at any given time,
Ben.
It's her.
Ben just alone without tricks, flips, or splits, just characterization and the way she does it, absolutely has some of the best lip syncs on that
100% show. Yes. There was just no competition. And I have to say, Aja turned it out in that lip sync too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I say someone's amazing and should have won the lip sync, like, no hate to the other person. Like, Aja turned it out. And we will see that when we talk about this episode too, because... Oh, holy hell. It was an insane lip sync, unlike, unfortunately, the episode 2 lip sync.
Yeah. Okay, but before that, so you also, like, you were doing all this doctoring, all this musical theater, having life struggles on Grindr constantly. But then somehow you had time to also, like, pay attention to all of these really long, 500-hour-long RPGs, like Chrono Cross. In your spare time, quote unquote. What spare time?
Just call that an addiction. No, so the interesting is I worked nights and there are some nights where nothing is happening. So if nothing was happening, I just said, whatever, I'm dying here. I'm bored. I will just play Chrono Cross. I'll play Xenoblade Chronicles. I'll play whatever. And it was great.
Oh, that's cool. And so you would just like max out your stats.
Absolutely. Oh, my Xenoblade Chronicles 2 file is cracked. It's cracked.
Xenoblade 2. Is that your favorite Xenoblade?
I don't know. It's really hard. I think the first one is my favorite so far. My first one is the favorite Xenoblade Chronicles so far, but I haven't finished mm-hmm. three. I want to see how three turns out. And I have to say, I have a really soft spot in my heart for Xenoblade Chronicles X, which was on the Wii U.
Oh, that's a great game.
Which had a crazy plot.
So insane. And, like,
and I want to learn the battle system more and play it more.
And then you get into these mechs.
Skell.
They called them Skells. We're losing probably half the audience now because it's like, you're not talking drag. You're talking weird, geeky stuff.
Elma is a drag queen. I don't know what they're talking about. No, listen, Elma was amazing. Oh, I don't want to spoil who she actually is, but oh my God, if you haven't played Xenoblade Chronicles X,
The only thing about that game was the ending. The ending was so unfortunate.
Oh, it was weird.
Because I was like, what? I want to know what happens next. Like, are they all dead? Like, what's happening?
We can't spoil it. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you enjoying number three, though? It just came out.
Three is fantastic. I didn't like it at first because it gets a little chaotic. You have six party members. Mm-hmm. But as I got more into it and I sort of learned how to work the system, and as you get more abilities too, the game really opens up and you get to be able to do more things. Once you're able to do a smash combo, the game is a breeze. I'm playing on hard mode because that's how I do it.
Oh, you do the hard. Wow.
I try to start on hard mode with any game. I had to switch to normal mode a couple of times. Mm-hmm. There was, especially at the beginning of the game. Since the beginning of the game, I hadn't had to, but at the beginning of the game, there are a couple bosses where, like, you don't have the abilities to really get through them on hard mode.
There was a couple bosses where I had to turn normal to easy because I was just like, I just want to see the thing that happens next right now. It's 1 a.m. and I want to go to bed.
Yeah. I mean, if you can do the break, topple, daze combo over and over, you're pretty much golden. Until you have that available to you, the game is very hard.
Break, topple, daze. Everyone's like, what are they talking about?
Break, topple, days.
What about, what's a more accessible thing that gays like? Oh yeah, Pokemon. Are you excited for the new Pokemon? It looks amazing.
I'm very excited for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
It's open world. I was watching some cool trailers. It looks really, really, really cool. It's like very modernized. I'm very
I will say I watch a lot of Pokemon YouTube as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I I'm in this Discord with a lot of other YouTubers, and one of my favorites is this guy named Frieza Eye.
Are you going to become the Z-A-I? Are you going to become the gay Pokemon professor now?
I'm debating it. There actually already is a doctor who does Pokemon. He's Poke Aim MD, and he makes amazing videos. Love him too.
Really?
But my favorite is Frieza Eye. He's great. Freezai. He does sort of these narrative. He does narrations of Pokemon battles. He talks about Pokemon history, the history of competitive battling, and he just does such an amazing job.
Oh my God, competitive Pokemon battling is so silly.
No, but he makes it accessible. He makes it accessible to everybody. Because the nice thing is there's this site called Pokemon Showdown, which will just build all the Pokemon for you, so you don't have to like raise them on your cartridge.
Oh, I know.
That's how most people now do Pokemon competitive battling.
Yeah, there's no time for like raising Pokemon on
your do it for a while. I had a lot of fun, but I would rather just know what I want to use and put it on Pokemon Showdown. It seems silly.
Yeah, I tried to like raise the Pokemon. Honestly, it takes so much time. And then they quickly become obsolete anyways. So it's like, whatever.
So true. But what is your favorite Pokemon? Do you have a favorite?
So I have a bunch of favorites, but I think consistently one of the ones in the top is always Clefairy Clefable because it's super pink and gay.
And competitive, Clefable is a monster, by the way.
I know. It's good and also very usable. Like if you run into a Clefairy, you can always add it to your team because it's like it's usable, you know?
Especially now that it's the fairy type. The fairy type really shook things up. I
try to use Jigglypuff, but Jigglypuff is just not the greatest.
Normal and fairy is not as good because it doesn't resist fighting. My favorites, I have two favorites. It's Umbreon because she's shady. And she's Articuno.
Shady. Oh, and you like to go Articuno, the weakest legendary birds.
The weakest of the legendary birds, yes. Well, okay, Moltres and Articuno on the same playing field because they're both, you know, four times weak to Stealth Rock. I know what's up.
Yeah. At least she's got the Ice Beam. That's a good move.
Yes. Yes.
High
Ice
coverage,
Beam is great.
High damage. She's got it.
I very much enjoy Articuno. I understand that Articuno, in terms of competitive battling and like the higher tiers, is garbage. Mm-hmm. And I am at peace with that. I love Articuno. I love the design. I love an ice bird. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of me. So graceful.
Are you excited for any of the new ones, like LeChonk or like the new?
I'll be honest. I am leaving myself open because every time I see the new generation, I prejudge it. Like when we got, I think it was Gen 5, when we got like freaking Vanillite. I was like, oh, it's ice cream. And then you realize, wait, this is actually kind of cool. It evolves into more ice cream. I actually didn't mind it once. And like Girder and Timber and Conkeldurr, I didn't like at first. And now I love them. They're some of my favorite Pokemon. I love them.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because they're all like Umbridge Smash, you know?
Umbridge Smash. That's what they say? Umbridge Smash?
No, they definitely don't say that. But that's what you would say if you were Dolores Umbridge in a Harry Potter musical.
Oh, I think that's very pink. That's more like a Jigglypuff moment again.
Okay.
But, that's okay.
My boyfriend has been on YouTube, by the way, watching forever, and he loves anything Harry Potter. Sorry to – I understand J.K. Rowling's a turf. We're not going to go there. That sucks.
It hasn't killed people's likes for Harry Potter. That's for sure.
It has not. Well, I mean, they're books. But in any case, there's a Harry Potter musical, which is available on – it's on YouTube. The whole thing's on YouTube. And the guy who plays Dolores Umbridge is hilarious.
Oh, there's a – it's in drag?
That's a drag role. Yeah, that particular role.
Oh my god. That's
no cute boys unless Umbridge is invited. No. But I mean those are Darren Criss, I believe, played Harry Potter in that. So that was his start. Doing online musicals.
Well, okay, let's see. I guess we should talk about the episode. You're excited about this, aren't you?
This is a much better episode than episode two.
Okay, so episode two. What did you think about episode two?
So I think that Black Peppa or Baby, probably Baby, would have won if they weren't in the bottom five. And I have a lot of thoughts about this episode.
Because in episode two, essentially, we'll break it down quick, was that it was a girl group challenge. There was two teams of five or six or whatever. And it was the one team was clearly much better than the other one.
I thought so. I did think it was weird that they did the girl group challenge so early. I think these girl group challenges work better with fewer people.
Oh, yeah.
Like a six people and five people in a girl group just doesn't work for me. That being said, yes, one of the teams was much better, but I was like, it was hard to focus on any one person really for me besides Baby and Black Peppa in their group because they were freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And everyone else, I didn't get that much from compared to them. I mean, like Black Peppa is my winner for this season so far. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But I will say at the end of the episode, Jonbers ate that lip sync. Jonbers ate it. JB. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Starlet, I wish that tape hadn't been on her face. I think she had a chance.
I see. You know what? My one opinion about the thing about Starlet was that she walked in the first episode. She looked really pretty. And I was like, I think that's all she has.
She was never going to be the winner in my eyes. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, she quickly revealed like you can look amazing, but if you don't have it, you don't have it. And that's like, she doesn't have it. She's so boring.
Yeah. And then I got to say, they came back into the workroom after that lip sync and, you know, they were calling Cheddar an old maid. And then Sminty put on that wretched old maid dress and started voguing in it. And I was like, Sminty can make anything look good. That voguing in the old maid dress just lives in my mind rent free. It was so hot and she looked fine.
Yeah, Sminty's like has weird long Michael Phelps proportions. She's like a giant stick. It's crazy. It's weird.
Oh yes,
it's insanity.
And something's up with her lips. Like she may have been to the dentist, and I'm at peace with that because they look so they look plump and ready to go. And I am all for you modifying whatever you need to modify to get things. Or maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. This could just be big lips. Fair, and either way, she looks good.
It's good. You get a doctor approved. It's like, if you're 23 years old, go and do whatever you want to your lips, regardless. What do you think, though, about wearing face tape when you're like 12? Like, do we really need face tape when we're that young?
You know what? I think people do what they got to do to snatch back that face and make it look good. I am in support of whatever works for your drag, as long as
you
can show emotion. As long as you can show emotion.
Well, the thing is, like, her skin is not droopy at all. Like face tape.
I mean, I think it's to create a more severe look.
Yeah, but she could just draw it like that. Her face is, her skin is so supple, so tight. She doesn't need the tape. You can literally just draw it like that.
I guess I'd have to see it both ways to understand, you know, from the front and the back.
It makes no sense. But it's just because, like, there's a lot of queens I know that, like, go to extreme lengths on certain things that are a little unnecessary. And I'm like, it's so extra. It's so extra. Anyway, episode 2 was wild. Definitely one team was better than the other. And, yeah, a quote-unquote front runner went home right away. And I was not surprised.
I don't think that Starlet was a front runner. No.
Well, everyone thought so. Really? Well, you know what I think? And I just realized this on my episode of Camp Wanahiki is that my look, did you watch the latest episode?
I have not seen it yet.
With the bingo lady? Anyway, my bingo lady, I'm going to spoil it, unfortunately, but I'm going to.
That's fine.
My bingo lady look.
You already spoiled it on Instagram, so I know what's happening.
She won the challenge, and it was up against, like, Deja was beautiful. Lily was beautiful. And they didn't choose the beautiful one on Camp Wanahiki. And it kind of like reminded me like, wow, you know, beauty isn't everything.
But it sure do help.
It sure do help. And it depends upon what show you're on. So
yeah. I mean, to be fair, you did dress as a couch for an episode.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to take a quick break and then get back into it. So we'll be back in 1 minute to discuss episode 3 of UK Drag Race season 4. All right. Bye, squirrels.
Bye.
Oh, welcome back, squirrels. Oh my goodness, what an amazing bar you made me. Is that Count Chocula cereal?
It is. It's magically delicious.
Oh, it was magically delicious in my mouth. It's just
a little bit more like Lucky Charms. I'm sorry.
That was, it was a little bit like Transylvanian, like by Lucky way of their Charms. Mother, but mostly Irish.
Someday I will figure this accent thing out. It's going to be okay.
Is that your background? I could imagine you being like half Transylvanian, half Irish. Like,
yeah. Rah. I mean, I do love to suck.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Creep in people's windows just to,
absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Just check their pulse.
Yeah. Well, because otherwise I'm not going to get anything out of there. You can't suck blood from a stone, you know?
You could try.
I could try.
You could try. Okay, anyway, what are you here for Drag Race UK season 4 episode 3, and we're going to talk about it. So, okay, what did you think about the episode in general? Did you like it?
I love this episode, and just from the beginning, the drama is on. Like, let's talk about Baby.
Okay.
Showing her confidence. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to say she's overconfident because she isn't. She knows her talent level and she's going to tell those bitches and piss all over that stage every single challenge. Mm-hmm. And I love that she knows that. I love that she knows her talent level because that's 3/4 of getting through this competition is knowing what you're good at and knowing that you are good.
I mean, she's pretty, like, overconfident, though. Do you really think she has what it takes to make it all the way to the end?
Yes.
I like her name, Baby. Call me
Baby.
I
think she's stunning. I think she's talented. Mm-hmm. I think I want to make out with her, and that may be biasing me a little bit.
No, I think she's really good. She's really talented. She reminds me kind of like a Shangela, almost like she's still a little newer to drag, but she's just such a strong performer. She can like
incredibly
really
strong,
very strong. She really knows what she's doing.
And then I do have, there was one other thing that I noticed at the beginning of this episode, which is that LaPhil's hair is everything. Her hair in and out of drag is just so gorgeous. Like, God, it makes me want to grow my hair out, but it would be curly. So I'm not really into it. I don't want to do it.
Any other favorites?
I mean, no. Black Peppa.
The answer is
Black
no.
Peppa.
Oh, Black Peppa. I mean, how can you not like? How can you not like the Peppa? I mean,
I'm a huge stan of Black
especially
Peppa.
Now that Black Peppa just by existing has given Michelle Visage a new nickname.
Oh God, white salt is.
Hey, white salt.
So dumb. It's so dumb, but I'm very into it. But those are my three right now. Well, I don't know that I see LaPhil as truly a front runner yet, but I love LaPhil's hair. But I love LaPhil's energy. I think they've brought amazing fashion to the runway. I think they've brought some amazing energy.
Yeah.
I'm not there where I see them as the front runner yet. I see Baby and Black Peppa.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not there yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Black Peppa is a real standout. Just the energy. Just has that, as they call it, winner energy. Winner
and cheddar. Cheddar Gorgeous. And Cheddar Gorgeous. Has captivated
absolutely
me.
Absolutely. Winner quality. I think LaPhil actually is a bit of a dark horse in the competition. It might actually quite surprise us. I also think Poppy Polite or whatever is totally a dark horse and could really make it all the way. I think they're hilarious.
Pixie Polite.
I think they're hilarious. Like a little subdued, but like doesn't like put themselves out front, but like just bangs it out at every opportunity. I mean, I relate with that a little bit. Like I'm not the one who just stands in front and holds the sign and yells. Like I kind of wait for my moment a bit. So
I do think that what's giving me Baby as like top is partly that she is so far the confessional queen of the season.
Yes.
For me.
Which is kind of like that narrator position that often
her and Black Peppa's hair are the confessional queen of the season.
Yeah, Black Peppa's hair is
Black Peppa's boy. Black Peppa's boy hair just gives me everything. I saw that and I was like, this is it. This is it, mama.
Okay, so today they had a bingo challenge, which I think hits very close to home. Do you play bingo? Oh, yeah.
I love bingo. That was my name-o in college.
Do you play bingo? Do you play bingo at all? Do you go to the hall?
I have played bingo. I'm not known to hang out for too long at the halls because, you know, with my crippling gambling addiction, I'll lose everything. But I do like bingo. Yeah.
I just sometimes.
And it was the NAFTA Awards.
The NAFTA. Oh, they did the NAFTA Awards before bingo, right? Okay, yeah. So they had to give them each other these moments.
And I have some comments about what happened before that too.
And okay, okay. Let's go there. What are your comments before the NAFTA Awards? We'll keep it
it's really just that John Burrs looks effing snatched for Quick Drag.
Okay, yeah.
If you look at John Burrs in Quick Drag, I'm like, that is a fully realized drag queen done up in 5 minutes.
Well, she probably only takes amazing. 5 minutes. She probably only takes 5 minutes for her makeup.
It was beautiful. It's beautiful.
Chapstick.
Okay, but anyway, most star quality was Black Peppa, which I think is an easy win, right?
Easy peasy. Yeah, and then I think
the best background actress in a non-speaking role was Copper Top. Mildly amusing.
Do you think? I think the funniest part is that she came up and she said something, and it's like, no, like it's an easy joke. Just come up, don't say anything, walk on, walk off.
there was only one person who got the award who actually had a really good joke, and that was Danny Beard, who got Camera Hog, and who also had an amazing wig for this mini challenge, but gave the absolute this gibberish award speech that just absolutely destroyed me. I was in tears.
Danny Beard is another favorite of mine.
Absolutely.
Really has that Vivian quality. I think they're similar. They come from a similar area. But I am really enjoying Danny Beard. I didn't want to let myself like Danny Beard, but I can't help it.
but the award that we really need to focus in on is Resting on Pretty. Because I predicted they were going to give that one to Sminty. But for some reason, they gave it to Baby. And I'm like, listen, people. Mm-hmm. No, that's not what this is. But then Baby goes up and she thinks that she's won the Pretty Award. Mm-hmm. I don't think she understood the subtext that she was just resting on Pretty. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she's just like very clever and wanted to play it up. But that was not the award for Baby. Baby is pretty. She's gorgeous.
I agree.
And
I would not say that Baby is necessarily as pretty as Minty. I mean, Starlet obviously would have been the obvious choice.
Starlet was definitely resting on Pretty.
That was it. That was it. That's all she had.
Not that her face ever rested. I mean, it was severe up in here.
And yeah, I mean, like, baby, yeah, she pretty. But like, I mean, there's some things that she could make a little better, let's just say.
And then the final award was Best Hot Mess, which went to Sminty Drop.
And yeah, I was actually quite surprised that Sminty was the hot mess. Mm-hmm. Are they sure Sminty's the hot mess?
Well, it's funny because as the episode went on, she became more of a hot mess, or maybe I should say was edited to be a hot mess. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would have given it in a very complimentary way to Cheddar Gorgeous for that clown look in the first episode. that was utter chaos.
No one's going to call Cheddar Gorgeous a hot mess. She's so put together.
She's very put together, but I think... I guess I think of hot mess as like complimentary.
Did you think the clown? Because I loved that.
Oh, I thought the clown look was amazing.
Because it was such a great way to say, look, I can do batshit crazy that doesn't make sense. And then she walked out as a fashion model diva Amazonian warrior. It was
I guess I look at the term hot mess as very much a compliment.
Oh, yes.
Like, oh, girl, you're a hot mess. Like, you know, I guess it can be true. I guess it can be seen negatively as well.
No, it's true. She definitely can turn on the hot mess. And I think she's amazing that way.
I think she's the absolute best kind of chaos. I mean, she is. She is utter chaos.
I do have to say Sminty's outfit from last week where she literally just came out in the two stupid alien pasties and then the hoop skirt.
That was a hot mess. Okay, so maybe you're right. And maybe it should have been Sminty. Yeah.
That was a hot
mess. She also like missed all of her lyrics in the challenge.
Yeah, that was a hot mess. I was like, she's getting into her head and there's not a lot in there, so it's not helping her. So we're moving on and we had to do the bingo challenge. Which is, I guess they're like, and this is very close to home. I always find it so crazy. There's always parallels in Drag Race and then my life. For example, like, I made a couch look on Camp Wanakiki. Canada's Drag Race was playing at the same time. Literally, three queens from Canada's Drag Race had couch looks. Vivian walked in and won. Bombay was apparently supposed to do one. Irma Gerd. Had one that she's never shown yet because mine's probably better. It was just so many parallels. And then this week, I literally came out as a bingo lady mermaid. And on Drag Race UK, it's a bingo like ball.
Bingo
thing. Like,
challenge.
They've never had bingo on the show before, even though drag bingo is such a drag thing. Have you ever been to drag bingo?
I love me some drag bingo. Do I ever win? No. Do I tip the queens? No. No, I do.
Exactly. Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah, that's the trick. Tip the queens. Tip the queens.
Just the tip.
So the drag bingo that I thought was amazing. They had a hot pit crew guy. Thank God they have pit crew budget on this show. Come on. Right? Canada's Drag Race doesn't have a hot pit crew budget anymore.
They have Brooklyn. It's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, come on.
But Brooklyn has that gross mullet, so I'm not really into
bingo! Okay, so what do you think of the bingo? They did the bingo to like put them all together into pairs.
So
right?
I thought that the best team was definitely going to be LaPhil's team and Sminty, because I feel like Sminty and LaPhil can probably both sew. That was my initial thought. I was a little bit worried about... who was I worried about? I was worried about Cheddar and Copper Top, I'll be honest, because I'm certain that Cheddar can design and sew, but I wasn't sure about Copper Top and what she'd be able to bring to it.
Right. I mean, you never know. Like, it's a gag to even have them paired in twos. Like, ugh. The last thing you want to do is work with an ugh in pairs. Like, ugh. Ugh. Like,
who would you most want to work with, you think, in this group?
Easily Cheddar Gore. Well, no, because she won't help you. She'll just care about herself.
Okay, before you watch the episode.
No, but I still remember, like, she would just help. She would just, yeah. Probably like Danny Beard or Pixie Polite. Like, just
I was all about LaPhil. I mean, I would have wanted to hang out with LaPhil during
this episode. Somebody that I'd get along with and doesn't seem like a hot mess. Yeah.
LaPhil just gives off the best energy of this entire cast.
Not to be, you know, overly judgmental, but like, honestly, I wouldn't want to work with Black Peppa. I'm sorry, but I just feel like Black Peppa, despite being amazing, I think she's a bit of a hot mess to work with.
Oh, really?
I mean,
I have no idea. She seems very kind to me. I think
she's amazing. I think I would work with that. Peppa. She literally started basket weaving. Anyway,
they both did it.
I know, but it was such a bad choice. But she's so creative. It's just not a great personality in like a time constraint design.
I did think situation. It was weird that everybody was just poo-pooing all over their fabrics. That's what I thought was odd, because they had so much to work with, and even though it's not exactly what you might want, mm-hmm. they're fabrics. You make something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know, and Pixie and Danny were shitting all over the purple materials. I was like, these patterns, they had patterns.
Yeah,
you can make something quirky and cute, and they're not super matchy-matchy.
And honestly, so you can judges, make, like, mismatching like patterns. Even if you end up with a color that maybe is not your favorite color, like, the judges realize that. The judges realize, well, they had what they had. They did what they did with what they had. Like, they're not going to be that angry about the color.
Yeah. I actually felt like Sminty and LaPhil had the worst box. Mm-hmm. They had no real big patterns except some stars, which sort of looked like the U.S. Season 3 Isle of America commercial challenge, except, you know, it's the U.K., so they can't really use that.
Yeah, the blue, honestly, yeah, blue is kind of the boringest color, really. I mean, blue is a kind of, it's such an everyday color. Like, my husband wears blue constantly. I have to force him not to wear blue.
Yeah. And then I got to say, Danny Beard and Pixie Polite are in a group together. And Danny says, we're big girls. We're going to go with a nice, simple dress. And I turned into Whoopi Goldberg immediately. I was like, you in danger, girl. Because that is way too simple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. They are big girls, though. They're big, probably the biggest in the competition. So together, I mean, the fact that they turned out what they did is, I think, good. But I think so they all got together and they have to design these things. And they got assigned random fabrics. And Sminty did that. I thought Sminty did a good job handing out the boxes. So that's good. That's good.
Yes.
She wasn't mean about it. She's actually pretty complimentary. Except she did give Black Peppa the green box. And I think that was a little bit of a, Black Peppa, you're doing good. Here, you take the green. Green's a hard
I think they should have been able to work with the green. I think green is a beautiful color. And they just sort of messed up. They didn't think it through. They didn't make something that really looked amazing. They chose a way of working with the material that was never going to really look fitted unless they had much more time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they give you these fabrics, yes, if it's like a make it out of nothing challenge, yeah, you want to weave things together. But when they give you fabric that's actual fabric, use it as fabric. Mm-hmm. Don't do these silly things.
Yeah. Okay, so essentially they end up with the things and they have to make an outfit for both of them. Who would you would want to work with in this group if you had to be paired?
Oh, so 100% LaPhil. Mm-hmm. I mean, LaPhil just gives off great energy. Another amazing confessional queen, by the way. We're seeing some amazing confessionals. And I thought, you know, in the middle of this episode, LaPhil really spilled her guts about her issues dating as a drag queen, which was something that I don't really identify with at all, but I found really interesting and kind of sad that that anyone would date a straight male.
Yeah, totally. You
know? Although if you're dating a man, you're probably not a straight man, if I had to guess. Think that one through for a sec.
Probably.
But I LaPhil gives off just this amazing, warm, loving energy, and I want her to find love.
Who was the one that kept going on about they only date straight guys? Was that
Was LaPhil?
That was LaPhil.
Because looking this up before we started watching, but LaPhil is he/him, but is very fluid in terms of gender presentation.
Yeah,
and so a lot of straight guys will hit on LaPhil was my interpretation because of his gender fluidity, and they don't really want a relationship.
Yeah, that's so such a shame. That's such a shame. Yeah. I think that's so funny how they consider themselves straight too. It's like, you're not straight. Like, get over it yourself. Like, you're clearly not.
LaPhil is a beautiful man who has some gorgeous feminine features, and I mean, I'd hit it as as a gay man. I'm proudly gay, and I get it.
LaPhil won't date you because you're not straight. Sorry.
Fair, but we do have something else to talk about in terms of hitting it, which is Pixie dated Tia Coffey.
Oh,
and
they broke up,
and you know what that means? That means that Tia is single. So I'm booking my flight to the UK today. I'm ready. My body is ready and right and a little bit squishy, and I'm all about that.
Wait,
so
that
let's
means
go.
That Pixie's single too. So Pixie, come over here.
This is gay love. So
yeah,
they don't even have to be single to do the deed. You know, you can just.
I mean, it can
just
be,
negotiate.
Just, what do you call it? It's like the sexual love revolution. It's the 70s all over again.
I was going to say a threesome, but
for the gays, it's like endless.
Endless.
Okay, so, okay, yeah, let's just go over the results one by one by one.
Absolutely.
So it was LaPhil and Siminty. They come out in the blue garments.
Overall, I thought they looked great. And it almost looks like LaPhil is using her real hair. I couldn't tell.
She might be.
But that hair is gorgeous. I will say, I thought LaPhil looked like an 11 out of 10. I thought Siminty looked like more of a 9. Her look, just the proportion was a little bit off, and I think it's because Siminty doesn't pad.
No, she does not pad at all.
I think because there were no hips, I wasn't getting... I mean, she looked gorgeous. Don't get me wrong. Yes, love her abs, whatever. The headpiece wasn't as good as LaPhil's. Just everything wasn't quite as polished.
Yeah.
LaPhil, so I was like, are they going to do an individual win in this episode or let a pair win? I thought they were going to have LaPhil just win alone.
Yeah, LaPhil definitely does the padding, like does a little bit of hip and a little bit of boob. And Siminty is one of those new girls who just completely resists padding. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with completely no padding, you know, doing the model look, doing the andro look, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, sometimes when you're in a drag competition, like, try it, you know?
Well, I will say she just didn't fill out this look in the way that I had hoped. I thought she looked gorgeous. I don't have.
Oh, God. Yeah.
These are, I think I'm very much nitpicking here. I mean, both of their looks were fantastic.
The thing is, like, with Siminty, like, she constantly just, and this is not to say anything bad, like, I think she looks great, like, but she constantly just looks like this really tall drink of water, beautiful, amazing glass of water, but, like, it would be nice to get another silhouette, and that's what we always want in these competitions, like, change your silhouette. It doesn't have to be the va-va-voom, but, like, it can be something, and we've literally just seen this tall drink of water again and again and again. No matter what she wears, we just always see this long, and it's amazing, but like, we just want a little something more. Just put a little boob in.
I think so. I think that's very true.
Just put a little boob in. She's gorgeous. Yes.
So the next couple was JB and Black Peppa.
Oh, yes. And I mean, come on. This was like a hot mess. This was really.
I thought it was a hot mess. That being said, considering the level of panic they had, I was surprised they actually had a garments on their abades.
Mm-hmm.
They did have garments on their bodies. But yeah, Peppa's nipple was all the way out. And I actually thought that Jonber's was not great. They complimented her bra, like the woven bra. And I thought that was okay. I thought the skirt really didn't fit that well.
No.
And therefore really was pushing her belly out.
She doesn't even have
a belly. She's like a skinny little thing.
It just looks like a towel wrapped around her body. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
The epaulette thing is fun. I mean, it's a more successful look, and the hair goes with it well.
Yes. And then next was Danny and Pixie, right?
I mean, it's just terrible. And Danny and Pixie, I think they turned it out. Like, it's this stretch fabric. It fits their bodies very nicely. They're not identical. They're kind of like,
I thought they looked pretty great. I thought they accessorized really well.
And it's also like an example of like, oh, we just got this dress, but here's two ways you can wear it, you know? And,
they didn't look identical, but I felt they looked so similar that they had basically made the same dress. That was the thing that sort of got me, you know, I know that they were supposed to be sisters. I think that was sort of the idea, right?
Yeah.
I just, I felt like the dresses were too similar and also were too simple, but they looked amazing. They did it right.
I like the slight differences they have. Mm-hmm. Like, Danny did just sleeves, and then Pixie did a sleeve into a finger glove. So, like, it's like little differences that are very cute.
Yeah, they certainly weren't identical. I just felt they were a little too similar, whereas some of the other ones went a little bit farther apart in terms of the overall look of the garment, but still managed to look incredibly like a sister looks.
And the body. They're really giving us the body, which is...
The body was amazing.
I mean, and that's the thing. Like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, a girl not giving us the body. But, like, when they do, it's just like,
yeah,
it's great. Like, we're getting it.
Cannot.
And again, like, when you think about what these two have worn on the runway previous, we haven't seen them in a bodycon dress yet. So it's like, again, we're getting another silhouette. When you do competition... Think silhouette. Silhouette is so important. Do varieties of silhouettes.
Yes.
Anyways, and then we get our winners, which are Baby and the Pokemon trainer girl.
Whatever. Oh, they were easily my favorite of the night. I mean, those looks were both distinctive, clearly sister looks, and Dakota's thought like knee highs.
Yeah,
just looked so good. And it's so funny that they made these looks, because Dakota's confessional look is not giving it for me.
Yeah. Oh, the little maid look. I love
I'm
it.
I'm not. Yeah.
It's like when a girl it's wears a like those look. Little schoolgirl like maid cafes look. In Japan. It's like, hey, would you like to order some pancakes? It's
yeah. I only had one critique of this look, which is I felt like Dakota's skirt was the teensiest bit too short. But the thing is, like, she looks amazing.
Is my
in
dress
it.
Too short?
I thought it was not a teensy bit too short. Like, just even an inch more, I think, would have elongated it just a little bit. But she's pretty long anyway.
I really love how these two looks are very, like, they're the same kind of idea, like little jumpers, except they took them in opposite directions. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you've got the puff pants on Baby and the cut. And then you've got like the fuller, like more 60s inspired with Dakota with the leg warmers. It's just, and just the pattern where they put that pattern fabric over the black to make black look interesting. Cause often the little black dress is just a little black dress. It's very boring, but that pattern just like made it fashion. It was really cool.
It was fantastic.
It was so cool. They look so adorable. Oh, I love it.
It was beautiful.
And then finally, we've got Cheddar Gorgeous and Copper Top.
So this, I think, is where I veer away from the judges a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they actually looked very polished overall.
Oh, totally.
And I thought that, I mean, it was very clear that Cheddar's was exquisite and had details on it that I don't think Copper Top could have made. But I actually thought, even though Copper Top's was simple, it was on a similar level as Danny and Pixie's.
I do not think so. I think the padding is not, it's a little low. It's a little bit irregular, actually, from the drag point of view. It's just not cut well. There's just issues with it. That Cheddar, also Cheddar's garment is like a little bit jaggedy, but like Cheddar made it, just polished it. And this is what we were talking about earlier. Cheddar really left her partner in the dust. She made sure, I'm going to look good. Even if you don't. Because Cheddar looks amazing. Like, if you look at that, it's like almost a RuPaul silhouette. It's beautiful. And then you get Copper Top, and she's trying. It's very, like, 60s. It's Barbarella on a budget. And the thing is, like, everyone looks so good.
I thought that her look was stronger than Jonber's look.
I agree, though. I agree with you.
It's totally like, it's agree. Not that I don't think that this was a stellar look by any stretch of the imagination. But if I put her alongside Jonber's blonde, her look is far and away better. It at least from far away looks polished.
I absolutely
and
agree.
It fits her. She made a leotard and a cape. But
And she did, and also like it's lined. She keeps saying it was lined, but she did the seamstressing for her and Cheddar Copper, because Cheddar doesn't do it very well. She does more like the accessories. And it seems like, I don't know, I feel like Cheddar would have been an awful partner to work with, because like it feels like Copper did all the work and then literally got crapped on for it.
I guess I have trouble telling sometimes. You know, it's I did hear, okay, so I did hear what, you know, when they formed that partnership, Cheddar basically said, oh, can you sew? And then Coppertop was like, yeah, I sew. And then she was like, good, because I craft. That was what I heard Cheddar basically say. But how much did they actually contribute to each of those garments? I don't know. And what was the real responsibility? Was the responsibility for them to help the other? Or was it to make your own outfit? Like, well, sometimes they tell the queens things like, you have to make your own outfit. You can't actually make the other one for the other person. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it is that. But it's also, you know, like, you're supposed to be cohesive and together. I don't know. It's just, it's unfortunate because it does, unfortunately, I think what it ends up that Copper Top and Peppa are put in the bottom, right?
I guess I disagree. I think the team of Black Peppa versus John Burr's Blonde,
I think that would have been
in the bottom. Yeah. I think that's, so I was noodling about that for a while.
I think they must have something against Copper Top. I wonder if Copper said something or like was being dramatic or something.
It's also possible that they want John Burr's to be a dark horse.
Yeah.
And so they don't want to have them lip sync twice in a row because that's sort of a kiss of death.
It is. And she's also the Irish queen. So maybe they'd be, you know, they're like, well, we want our representation, right? Because that, you know, representation in the UK is different. Like they want to make sure that different areas are being represented. Yeah. And at the end of the day, Copper Top is, well, she's the panto queen from, you know.
This is true. But I hate to see it. But given my boyfriend's hair status, I hate to see a ginger go.
Oh, I know. So then we get the lip sync. And did you like this lip sync?
I loved this lip sync. Mm-hmm. This is so far the best lip sync of this season because both of them gave it their all.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Black Peppa was, Black Peppa ate, and I knew that was going to happen. But I will say, Copper Top kept up and did an amazing job.
I have to agree. I honestly thought, yeah, Black Peppa did her thing. Black Peppa did the tricks. I feel like Black Peppa really didn't get into it about until halfway through. Like, I just found Black Peppa to be a little bit flailing around. And I'm just wondering, like, is your head really in the game here? Because honestly, Coppa gave it the whole way through and gave just a very strong, solid, interesting performance. So,
I saw it as levels, right? I just saw Black Peppa as sort of slowly rising throughout the performance.
She did tricks. Once she did the...
And she threw her purse away. She did that purse throw that I thought was fierce as F.
Yeah, once it was like the
purse throw. I'm allowed to swear on this podcast, aren't I?
Once she like got away from like doing the stupid death drops and like the typical things, and then she started doing like the thing with her knees and stuff, I was like, okay,
I was dying. It was Denali 2.0.
Now we're lip syncing. When you were doing those stupid tricks, no one cares about those anymore. Please be interesting.
I cared.
Like a death drop is just not that exciting to me anymore. Like we've seen them. And whenever I see a girl fall down into a death drop, I'm just like, girl, you're hurting yourself. Like,
no, what I want to see is more people lip sync like Denali. That's basically what I want in my life. 100% pure love. Back in the middle and back again. I'm going to give it right to the end.
She's a figure skater. She can do like triple loops. She's got,
I mean, every time she does a lip sync, it looks choreographed. That's the thing. Until they gave her like a soulful song against Olivia Lux, but you know.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I mean,
let me just say, I was worried. I was worried because this
had
parallel. But no, let me tell you what I was worried. Because in UK 2, you know, Estina Mandela won the first episode and then episode 3 lip synced and went home. And I was like, this is a parallel. They'd better not do the same thing again. Because had Estina not gone home, I think that would have been a very different season.
Do you think Estina was on the same level as like Black Peppa in terms of like creativity?
I don't.
No, absolutely
not. I don't, but I was still worried.
Yeah. No, Black Peppa is like total front row. Her creative mind and her energy and her personality are just like winner energy.
Absolutely.
The producers are so excited to have her on the show, I can tell. And they're just like, oh my God, an opportunity to put our front runner in the bottom? Yes. Yes, let's do it. You know,
to be fair, she deserved it. I mean, she was the only one. She was the one to put in the bottom this episode.
And I'm glad that she stayed, honestly. And it's unfortunate because Coppertop, honestly, I think is just such a solid presence and does really represent the panto vibe that UK is so accustomed to. You know, a good panto queen, you know, pantomime. I get a lot of inspiration from pantomime and panto queens and like the big stupid makeup. Yeah. So I'm really sad to see Copper go. It's too bad.
I love Copper. I'm very sad that she left.
Yeah, but she's not dead.
Well, not. We all die eventually, but
she is old, so she only has a couple days left. But it's, you know, it is what it
is. Yeah.
Well, that was the episode. Thank God we got through that.
Oh my.
So do you still like this season?
I'm loving this season. I mean, I love all the queens from UK3, but I think UK4 is a stronger season overall in terms of the editing from the production. I have an idea of the story already. I have an idea of who I want to win. Mm-hmm. It's Black Peppa. I think Black Peppa is going to win, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I thought Anita Wiglet was going to win and I was wrong. So.
The personalities on UK are consistently just like so interesting. Like every season of UK is worth watching. And it's because I don't know. I just love personality, and the UK just gives us so much personality.
Oh yes.
You know, sometimes it's unfortunate, but on Canada's Drag Race, sometimes we're lacking in personality here. Are Canadians just boring?
I don't think. Hold up. I actually don't think Canada was lacking in personality. I don't. I mean, Canada season 3 had some amazing personality. I mean, come on, Kimmy
Couture,
Vivian Vanderpuss was a favorite. Vivian. Irma Gerd was so fun. I mean, a few of my favorites went home early, but you know, I just would have liked to see them in the final. I thought that Canada's Drag Race 3 was good. I don't think it's as strong as UK4.
No, I agree. But I thought it was good. I agree. Because it's just not the same. Yeah. You know, we have
like Kimmy Couture not knowing what angina is was a moment. That was the moment of the season for me. I know what a vagina is. I have one. You know,
All right. We've gone over time. It's time to close this up. Dr. Jake, it's been really fun to chat with you about Drag Race and stuff. Do you have any last words? Do you want to tell the children where to find you?
Yeah, you can find me everywhere on all platforms as Dr. Jake Media. And on YouTube, I'm Dr. Jake.
Yes. Well, thanks, Dr.
You can watch me forcing lesbians to react to Steven Universe. So
honestly, it's more fun than it sounds. Okay, bye, everybody.
Not for her.
We'll try and get Opalescence on sometime so that I can scold her for standing me up multiple times. And some more campy guests. Dr. Jake is wonderful, and I'm glad that he and it's so easy to talk to. So thank you for being here. Well,
my pleasure.
That's it. Until next week, squirrels. Bye.